Today is the 9th day of March. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you. Welcome back around the global campfire. Come on in. Come on in. We're just getting going this week. We need each other. We need to gather up. We need to let the scriptures speak into our lives. And so let's do that. As we come in from all four corners of the globe, here into this safe oasis, this place of healing, this place of repair, this place of safety around the global campfire, in community together, I am deeply, deeply grateful for this place and for every one of us that are here, deeply grateful. So Let's jump in and take another step forward together, which will take us back into the book of Numbers at this point. Today, chapter 11, verse 24 through 13, verse 33. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, My lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Then a wind from the Lord sprang up, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the ground. And the people rose all that day and all night and all the next day and gathered the quail. Those who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. While the meat was yet between their teeth, before it was consumed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck down the people with a very great plague. Therefore the name of that place was called Kibroth Hattava, because there they buried the people who had the craving. From Kibroth Hattava, the people journeyed to Hazeroth, and they remained at Hazeroth. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forward. And he said, Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, like snow, And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her, please." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again." So Miriam was shut outside the camp 7 days, and the people did not set out on the march till Miriam was brought in again. After that, the people set out from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a chief among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the people of Israel. And these were their names: from the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakur; from the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; from the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; from the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun; from the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu; from the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi; from the tribe of Joseph, that is, from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi; from the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gemali; from the tribe of Asher, Sethur, the son of Michael; from the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vosphi; from the tribe of Gad, Geul, the son of Maki. These were the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea the son of Nun, Joshua. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage, and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob near Libo Hamath. They went up into the Negev and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with a single cluster of grapes. And they carried it on a pole between two of them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol, because of the cluster that the people of Israel cut down from there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land, and they told them, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Then the men who had gone up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak who came from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. Mark 14, 22 through 52. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, Take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, Even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said to him, Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, If I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, My soul is very sorrowful. Even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy. And they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard. And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, Rabbi, and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. One of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled. And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him. But he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. Psalm 52. The steadfast love of God endures. To the choir master, a maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction. Like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. Selah. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. The righteous shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, See, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever, because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good, in the presence of the godly. Proverbs 11, 1 through 3. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Okay, so in the book of Numbers, a massive crossroads we come to today. The time had come for the children of Israel to finally enter the land of promise. Like this promise, we've been walking toward this point since we met Abram back in Genesis. God's promise, which had taken centuries to bring about, all the way back, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was about to move from a promise to a fulfillment of a promise, a reality. And so 12 spies are appointed, one from each of the tribes, to scout and explore and come back and tell their findings. Fascinating where they go. When they came to the valley of Eshcol, we read today, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes so big that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. It may not seem like a big deal that they went to the valley of Eshcol. Until we go back to the book of Genesis and back into the life of Abraham, and remember that Sarah died, and Abraham purchased a field and a cave to become his family or ancestral burial grounds. The first piece of land owned in this promised land was bought from a Hittite man in the valley of Eshcol. So them going back to this place, they are going back to where Abraham is buried. The Valley of Eshkol, to this day, is near the ancient city of Hebron. The spies had gone to where those who had first received the promise were laid to rest, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then they came back, and when they come back to tell the story, they do not come back with a story of promise. They come back and say, we can't do it. They are stronger than we are. The land we travel through will devour anyone who tries to go through it. All the people that we saw there were giants. We saw the descendants of Anak, of the Nephilim, the giants. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. 10 out of the 12 spies agreed with that report. Everyone except for Joshua and Caleb. And the poignancy of this, like of this report, of this event, it has vast repercussions. It's not only the story of the children of Israel, but man, in many ways, this is the story of our lives. We have often walked toward a promise or a hope that we've been given, that we've been holding on to, only to discover that it's not gonna be a smooth road, and there will be opposition in the way. And we can find ourselves feeling like we're facing the Nephilim, the giants. We feel like we're grasshoppers, just waiting to be squashed. And the question becomes, what are we going to believe? The promise, the hope, or the immediate circumstance? The long view or the immediate view? So the report of these spies, that just echoes throughout the entire camp of Israel and demoralizes the people. And we'll see, because we have to continue this story, how this goes down. But this report has a profoundly lasting implication for them. But as we allow this story and the scriptures to become a mirror in our lives, it has vast awareness and implications for us. And so, Father, we invite your Holy Spirit as we move into this part of the story. They are on the threshold of the promise that has taken centuries in so many ways. It has taken centuries to get us to this point in our history and in our lives. Billions of choices by ancestors we don't even know their names anymore have led to us having life and us being here at this point in history. And we have had to walk in hope in a lot of directions, thinking that as long as we just pray the right prayer, you'll just go and butter the path so that we just slide on by. And when it doesn't go that way, when we find out there's giants, when we find out there's opposition, when we find out this isn't gonna be easy, then we find ourselves so quickly grumbling as the children of Israel. We find ourselves so quickly saying, don't you remember how easy it was when we were in slavery and bondage? We should have never done this. We should have stayed where we were in bondage. We so easily forget that freedom is something contended for, something maintained. Holy Spirit, as we move through this story, we ask that you move through our lives and make this a mirror and make us see ourselves and become self-aware that we are so like these people in this story, and the implications are significant. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray, lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome back to another edition. What is this? The final?
That's kind of sad.
It's not the final, whatever this is.
It's the final.
Final chapter.
Remix. Jordan edition.
Yeah.
Israel Jordan edition of whatever this is.
We have had a good time doing it and been all over the place, and it has been a joy to to have thousands of people on the whatever this is train with us.
Yeah.
So
choo-choo.
Here we are back in the rolling hills of Tennessee.
H-O-M-E.
And still recovering, jet lag and all. But we thought we should not just disappear, but kind of at least put a period on this sentence and end that trip. So, wow, it started.
Let's put an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Sure. At the end of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was a great journey, all in all.
It was a great journey, all in all. A very beautiful pilgrimage mm-hmm. in Israel that went surprisingly smoothly for the largest, the largest pilgrimage we've done. So
yeah,
so it was great to see our friends, right? Our Israeli friends.
Yeah.
After a few years.
So
and,
great.
Just kind of pick up where we left off and.
Maybe people don't understand what we're saying, but we have the best of the best tour guides that it took a while to find them.
Like, it took 10 years to put this whole thing together, and now it's a really, really beautiful machine. It's not a machine, but I mean, it's a really, really well-oiled team
mm-hmm.
of veterans that it really takes that to do this
yeah.
level, like to do this level of a pilgrimage at this level of what I consider to be excellence.
Yeah. And people, I think they don't understand that these tour guides, they know their stuff,
mm-hmm.
but yet they're always continuing their education.
Yeah.
Things change. New sites are discovered and dug out, and they have to expand their knowledge. The teacher can always be taught.
Yep.
And there's also a very specific way that you like the trip to be.
That it has to be.
It has to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say that so that people understand what we're saying, but it took you a while to find that without, you know.
These people, though, you know, like Roman and Olga are friends. And,
right.
And then, of course, Sherry and Jonathan, like the Yosher,
yeah.
Scott, like everybody on the Yosher team and actually there in Israel, coming from the United States to be with us, is all of the team.
Yeah.
That it takes on all of the different levels, from logistics to travel to, you know, guides to
drivers,
hotels to
hotels,
every little detail,
restaurants
that has been worked through. It was mm-hmm. nice to move through that. Everything held.
Yeah,
it was beautiful to watch people.
Come
alive and watch the dots connect and watch community form. And I guess this is a year that I haven't seen is quite the how do I put it? Like the buses really created their own identities this year.
Yeah, they did,
in ways that hadn't been done before, and it was so fun. And then, gosh, I think back to our like this kind of Bible competition, and between the buses and the winner and the cheers and the chants, and
there really was an element of fun and that team camaraderie. Yes, thank you. Sorry, still very tired.
Yes.
Yeah, the energy, it was very high at the beginning, and just
that was so fun.
It was so fun. And that's never happened before.
So new traditions, and gosh, I think back to the dance party.
Yeah.
That was so fun.
That was fun.
It was, I don't know, we just kind of all came together, and it was fun to be there together.
Yeah, something new that we've never done before, and that was, I think the hotel suggested it because they wanted to do something else for Valentine's Day, and it didn't work out, so it was just really sweet to... I love dancing. I love watching people dance and just the community aspect of it. So it was a good time.
Yep. And then all the places that we go, and you know the story that we tell, it's just beautiful to watch it connect. And we go everywhere, and it was really fun to see all the places again that we haven't seen in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, all the way around, it was really good.
Yeah.
And everybody got out.
Yeah. And, we had all of our, not all of our family, but now all of our family has been to Israel.
Yeah.
And that was really sweet to have special moments with the grandkids and to show them, you know, certain things that they would maybe never be able to see. And so there's just a lot of sweet moments there.
Yep, I agree. And then that got done, and we were doing an extended
edition. Well, I want to go back to one thing real quick. I just want to say that my favorite aspect of the trip in Israel altogether, because I've been thinking a lot about it with the time, the downtime, is the stories that we get along the way on the journey.
Man.
It would not be what it is without those stories. And it's not... It's been 3 years since we've been back, and a lot has happened even between in our marriage since we've been back. But we have not been able to see the community aspect face to face in 3 years.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just gets lonely, or you just don't get to touch the people in the way that you wish that you could, because this is every day.
Yeah.
Hearing those stories of transformation.
Right.
Of connection through the community. And it's sometimes it's a walk down a mountain. So it's real, real quick. Sometimes it's a story waiting in line to use the bathroom. Sometimes it's a quick, like over dinner connection. And it would not be the trip that it is without the stories from the people and just sharing. And I feel so honored and humbled that the community shares those with us along the way.
Yeah.
And I just want them to know, like, that for me makes the trip what it is.
There's no doubt about it.
And I wish I could have heard everyone's story.
But we did hear a lot.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond just those stories. It's like the calls, like if you, mm-hmm. know, this becomes a very community, a communal thing that is even, you know, we're there, but then there's virtually thousands of people there praying and watching and mm-hmm. learning and seeing and absorbing and being being involved and calling in and hearing their stories. Like the whole thing brings such an energy to the year and really bonds the community together for the year as we take the journey through the Bible. And so I love it.
Yeah.
Actually very deeply.
Yeah. Because we meet people the first night, like real quick on the fly. But it was day 3 or 4, I think, when we did the live. And I was walking around the room and one of the callers from DABC.
Yeah.
She says her name and it clicks for me. You know.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, you know, I know you. And
yeah. And I'm like, I need to hug you and I might tackle you, but I just like, it's just, the way that the trip brings the Bible to life mm-hmm. for the people, us being able to see them brings the community to life for us.
For sure. And then those that have been several times, mm-hmm. seeing them, like it, just the whole thing.
It's like old friends. We're old friends together. Yeah.
It's so very, very special. So I agree with you there. Is that the connection?
Mm-hmm.
The connection is not only important, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. And it helps us a lot to,
yeah,
to feel and sense that as we do the work that we do.
Yeah.
So as we're talking about it, I miss everybody now.
I know, I do. Like, it's so good to be home, but it's so bittersweet that I love it. I love being there, and I love our people.
Very much. I'm very, it's a community like no other.
Yep.
And for it to have such a long run of goodness and goodwill and safety
mm-hmm.
for all these years, it's so rare. So I love our community. I'm grateful.
I think we were just talking about that today, actually, at lunch, that you have seen things at a very young age that a lot of people don't learn in a lifetime. There's so many ways that people approach ministry, even that they want the flash in the pan, they want the quick fire, you know, get me to where you are as fast as, like, tell me the formula.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's no secret. I was even that way. Like, why aren't we a little bit more flashy mm-hmm. just in everything? And you have learned early on that slow and steady may not win the race, but it finishes the race.
Yeah.
And to build something long-term, you are such a master at that.
Mm. It's sweet.
And so I hear what you're saying, but I'm also like, that's because you learned this early on in life. Mm. And we're not swayed by the opinions of people.
Right.
Which is so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
We want the praise, we want the accolades, but you have just always known what to do and you've done it.
Mm.
And I have just great admiration for that.
Thank you, baby.
I'm welcome.
So, any other things you'd like to say really nice about me?
Well, I got a laundry list too, but I'll save that for Tuesday.
Oh, so anyway, everybody got off back to home, wherever home was. And we had people from, many places in the world. And they got back and we had intended and did go to Jordan. And that was a very intentional plan. And We wanted to see and experience for many reasons that side of things, because I don't know that it's like commonly understood that Jordan really kind of like is a very, very biblical land.
I think that it's not understood, because I think you and I didn't even realize the depth of what's there.
Yeah. So it is very, very much biblical. It wasn't Jordan we have modern boundaries and stuff, but in the biblical times, Old and New Testaments, it's a very different, landscape. So as far as borders and stuff. So Jordan, man, it's the Edomites, it's the Moabites, it's the Amalekites, it's the Ammonites, it's the Roman Empire of the time of Jesus. It's, you know.
And then it's also Herod and John the Baptist and I can't think of what else New Testament.
The Baptist is prominent there, like the Jordan River, like baptismal places and Bethany beyond the Jordan, and just the reality that we do go to the place where Jesus is baptized and we won't go to Israel, but how developed it is on the other side is really, really impressive. And understanding the prophet Elijah, went up in a whirlwind in what is now Jordan, but, was just on the other side of the Jordan River. And like you said, John the Baptist, and he lost his head,
And we see Jordan from the side of Israel in the Jordan River, and it's very deceiving what is actually there behind what we're able to see. I mean, it's a much more involved sight on the Jordan side than it is the Israel side. So we were just pleasantly surprised in a lot of places that we went to. Mount Nebo, oh my gosh. It was so fun. Yeah, looking into the promised land, but also looking out and going, I know exactly where that is, where we're looking and what we're seeing.
Yeah.
And it was just it expanded our view and our knowledge, and it was very fun to see, like, the expansion.
And we had that all planned out. Same way that we, planned out earlier, or last fall, to, follow the Apostle Paul, follow the book of Acts, and expand our understanding and awareness. We had this all planned out in Jordan.
And little did we know we would have the godfather of Jordan for a guide. I kept calling him the godfather because everywhere he went, they parted the ways and kissed his face. And he was probably the best of the best.
We, I don't know how old I would say he is, but I'd say 70 maybe-ish.
Yeah, I would say he's grandfatherly.
65, 70-ish, but has been doing this work for 42 years. He, as a guide, has license number 2. In Jordan, he was there as this kind of tourism is being developed, and it's the king who has license number 1.
Right.
And, we're driving along and he's just telling us I guided the Clintons. I guided Princess Diana.
Mm-hmm. Every president that's visited, every first lady that has visited, he has guided them. And then
all the way down.
Yeah.
So, and beyond that, to other kind of famous dignitary type people. Mm-hmm.
And he was just respectful of everybody and spoke very highly of the king of Jordan. And I loved that he honored him in that way and said that You are safe here.
Mm-hmm.
Our king is a man of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of the biggest takeaways, is that even though what was happening in the world was happening, you and I did not feel out of sorts, panicky, chaos for a single second.
Yeah.
And that was a lot due to watching the people, which just makes sense. Like, in learning all of this therapy language, I'm still learning that even like if your kids are having a tantrum, if you regulate,
mm-hmm.
they will model, hopefully, they will model what they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And that will calm them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the people were regulated.
Basically, yeah.
I didn't see anybody anywhere freaking out. And
Jordan is a Muslim country, and it's clearly mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
And we've been in other, you know, Muslim countries. So
Turkey.
It's clearly that.
Yeah.
But it was just really interesting. David is a Christian. Mm-hmm. And you know, I kind of thought maybe Christianity was tolerated, but a little more underground. It's not. It's
no.
like pretty out in the open. And that, you know, it was interesting to hear the king is like surrounded by Christian people.
Yeah.
And so just fascinating learning, fascinating experience.
Yes.
And we did have a godfather who, at least in the tourism business, like everybody knew him and deferred them. And he just walked into a place and owned it, basically.
He really did.
I mean, on some levels, it was like, this is cultural. Like, this is part of Arab culture. And it's a little bit forward and a little bit pushy and a little bit aggressive. But he just kind of owned every place we went to. It was like, okay, well, whatever he wants, he's going to get.
Right. But he genuinely took care of us and made us feel safe and cared about our well-being. Like, we're still getting messages when we're home, making sure we're home
still,
safely. And the job is done.
Making sure we're okay and everything.
Yeah.
So, thanks, God.
Thanks. He would often say, "Are you happy?" And we would say, "Yes, we are happy." "Good, then I am happy. Thanks, God."
Thanks, God.
And then when you were out taking pictures on the sites that maybe I didn't stay out and take as many pictures as you did, you would say, "Look at him. He is so happy."
Yeah.
"Your husband's very happy."
Thanks, God.
You have no idea.
So, biblical knowledge expanded greatly. Little did we know, though, that war was going to break out in the Middle East, and so we're actually in Petra when we find this out.
Yeah.
It's morning time, and you know, everybody just begins to find out. It was probably, I don't know, 20 minutes after the whole thing began, as it's just starting to hit the news in the Middle East. Like, people back in the United States are fast asleep, so that news isn't going to hit until they wake up.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like finding it out as it's happening. And so for a moment, it was like, okay, what does this mean?
Yeah.
I didn't for a minute feel like we're in danger, but I mean, like, we were supposed to be. It was the next day that we were supposed to be crossing the border back to Israel.
Oh, right.
And, you know, making our way ultimately to the airport to leave that night.
Yes.
So, you know, we're immediately thinking, okay, what are the implications here? Because, you know, how big is this? Like, what is happening? And I guess, you know, by midday, it was pretty clear, like, oh, this is significant. Well, whatever this is significant. And that's when we, you know, started, like, I guess if I'm thinking true, Sherry had called like the day before, and just with a little bit of a heads up, simply from the U.S. embassy in Israel and some directives and stuff. So, I just didn't realize, oh, things are about to happen.
Right. Well, even with that information, you know, we were not able to get out.
There's nothing we could have done
any earlier than what we did.
So,
and we were praying, praying that nothing would happen because, you know, war is obviously so touch and go minute by minute, but
it was just so complicated. And yeah, anyway,
we're I guess so pretty grateful to God and to all of you that prayed that we could get home when we did.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a tough travel day, too. 24, 25 hours.
It was a
like
long
that.
Day once we finally did leave.
Very little sleep at all. And
but I mean, that night, that first night, we got back to Amman because we were supposed to leave the next day. By the time we got back to Amman, to our hotel, we knew we were not leaving the next day. In part because the border was closed. At no point were we abandoned. Like, sure, we had David and we had everything on the Jordanian side for support, but that's when it was the heart-wrenching reality that we had friends who were like in bomb shelters.
Right.
By that night, actually by that afternoon, but by that night, who are, you know, we're checking in on them and they're letting us know, but then they're also calling like to help us sort out, you know, what it means for us and caring for us. And I don't, that was, I'll never forget. Like, that was very moving. Yeah.
And to think that that is a part of their reality in some ways. You know, just the uncertainty, and I guess in all truth, the thing that can be said about what we saw in Jordan was a bit of, a slight bit of defeat from the tourism side of things. Things were just starting to open back up.
And I think that's that. We didn't see it because it didn't happen while we were in Israel, but the same thing
right,
in Israel.
Right. Like, I was just going to say that. Like, that is the truth of Israel as well. Just people have not gone. Well, one, the airlines didn't fly for a certain amount of time, but then there's just a lot of fear.
Yeah.
There's so much fear. And I think the thing that really was surprising to hear from our guide, who has family in the States and family in Jordan, is him even saying things are so sensationalized. They're just not true. And that creates so much fear. And every time he would say that, he would look to us and say, have you felt afraid anytime you were here? And no, we truthfully didn't. Thanks God.
Thanks God. So the reality that we're not going to leave as planned settled in, and that brought you a few notches down for a minute.
Yeah. I'll be honest. It did. I was just really longing for home, and we're kind of made differently. You can go and go and go and go. And that actually recharges you sometimes. But my body's like, nope, we are not going. And then I just feel like every time we go somewhere, something kind of strange happens to me. I guess we didn't talk about it. I got a parasite when we were in Turkey and Greece and Italy. And so I got really run down, really sick at the end of the trip, but didn't get diagnosed till I got back to the States because I was not getting better. I was getting worse and losing weight really quickly, which like maybe a parasite's not a bad thing. No, I'm just kidding. Like, it's,
just
it was
to
not
learn to work with this.
Yeah. No, it was not fun at all. But this time, we had a couple days off. I got a massage because my body was just exhausted, and massage is one thing that really helps me. And I turned over too fast, and the crystals, who knew? The crystals got knocked out of my ear.
I can't remember what they're actually called, but yeah.
And
the crystals.
The room started spinning in a way. And like, usually if you get a little dizzy, you can just close your eyes and your equilibrium comes back. It just kept getting worse and worse. And I thought I was going to pass out and throw up. And Eden, beautiful Eden, who is my massage lady, got me some water, but it just was not getting any better. And it just knocked me out for a couple days. But, you know, thank God for Google. I Googled what happened and you fixed my crystals.
We found this maneuver and eventually all was well. But back to, like, at Jordan, when we realized we're not leaving. And at first we just didn't even know, like, when we might be leaving.
I think that was really the emotion that came up, the uncertainty, like, we may be here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Ezekiel was done, and I was done, and but we made the most of it. So
that's the thing is, I mean, our guide is like, we're not going underground here. We're not unsafe. Let's just go see more of Jordan. And we got to see a lot of things we wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And meaningful.
For sure.
Like, meaningful things that we wouldn't have. And got to go to places that we just wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Deep into the country of Jordan. And
we found places that we could have something besides chicken and rice.
Eventually.
And it recharged my spirit. Because I do love me some chicken and rice, but one can only consume so many amounts of chicken and rice before one is like, bring me the pizza.
Yeah, agreed. So
bring him the Wagyu hot dog.
Oh man, that was a special day.
That was.
Anyway, we got to see a lot of things that we wouldn't have. An experience. I mean, I feel like we had a very, very comprehensive time in Jordan. Very, very well spent. Very comprehensive. Very complete in ways that it wouldn't have been. So we did make the most of it.
Yeah, I would say it's the land is equally as beautiful as Israel. Not that they're in competition with each other. But yet so different at the same time.
Right.
Like, those are the things that I love about going from country to country. There's a certain aspect of familiarity. And yet these differences that make it so distinctly its own self. And So it was really great to be able to experience that and see so much. I mean, we went everywhere.
We really did. I think we saw every biblical, not like every archaeological biblical place. I think
David said we did. So,
we were full.
Oh, and we have to talk about the driver that drove us, that saw things he has never seen in his country because
we did. Yeah, we talked about that along the way.
And so it became kind of this thing where when he got out of the van and he's kind of giggling and he takes his own picture, we know he's never been here before.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened from
a lot.
All the way to our final time with him, I think, up to the whatever. That was really fun. It just became a little joke between him and the guide. And they had never worked together. And so that was fun to see that friendship form. And
yeah. We heard a lot of Arabic. Mm-hmm. We hear a lot of Hebrew when we're in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Heard a lot of Arabic and Jordan. Ultimately, it took like a couple of days. And then we finally, like, things started to even out where it was like, we can book a flight. That at first we weren't going to leave because there was no way out. And even as we're trying, because we had to switch things, it's like, we can't really go back to Israel and fly out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a possibility. So we've got to change things and try to fly out of Jordan. And, we're also like contemplating, well, should we try to get to Egypt? And
right.
And then the more we looked at how that would look, it was like, wow, this is a last ditch. Like, to right. do this right. is very complicated to do from where we are. We're better off to just wait it out in Jordan. We're safe here. And
right.
Then finally things started to even out where we could finally even book a flight.
Right.
And it was several days away, and we didn't know that it would stick. But that was the problem. You know, flights were getting booked and then canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just, you know, everybody is scurrying. And so we just finally were several days out and got this flight. And we're just like, okay, this is when we think we'll leave. And we hope we can.
Yeah. And shout out to our kids back home who are waking up at the butt crack of dawn,
yeah,
to find out this stuff and working hours on just trying to get us home safely
on the weekend.
On the weekend, yeah,
just pounding it out, Gert. Yeah, this thanks to Christian and Jocelyn, and
yeah,
just pounding it out and
sending pictures back home. You know, and China's like, "Great, get home. That's great. Now come home."
Yeah.
And we talked about this with them. We would feel the same way if they were there in the uncertainty.
Right.
But yeah, grateful for that support back home. And
so we had really good experiences in the remix extension.
Yeah.
Of Jordan. And then finally there was that morning, like, I mean, like, the last night that we're there, this is my birthday, so I'm spending my birthday mm-hmm. in Jordan. We're at the Dead Sea in mm-hmm. Jordan. It's, like, surprisingly beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
It's shockingly beautiful there. Mm-hmm. And we practically have this place to ourselves, this beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
That is really, really made for tourism and stuff, but mm-hmm. we just, like, the only other people there are trying to get out too. And it's like, there's not very many. And so we have this whole place.
Yeah.
Kind of to ourselves. And
which made me sad, which it really made me sad, because it was like, this place is meant to be full. People here and, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a luxury for us. Like, got to hear the birds chirp right yeah. on our balcony and
yeah.
sing to each other.
Yeah.
The pool is right, there's 10 pools and nobody's
yeah.
there. And so anyway, sorry, it's your birthday night.
Yeah. So do that, you know, have a little brownie and ice cream and blow out the candle and see the sunset. And then we wake up the next morning and it's like, if all goes well, we get to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remember going out on the balcony and looking at the Dead Sea and looking across to Israel and mm-hmm. thinking about our friends there. And
yeah,
you know, looking at the Dead Sea and realizing, okay, this is, you know, we're going to head away from here now. And if all goes well, in 24 hours, you know, we'll be
yeah.
in a different world. And that's ultimately what happened, is that the flight did leave. They were like still in Jordan. All nighttime flights were canceled, but this was a daytime flight. And so
the airport was surprisingly busy for,
I think it was starting to,
you know, yeah. Even the person that kind of escorted us and took us was like, yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be this busy. So they were just like starting to add flights back in and open up airspace. And so we, you know, began this long 24-hour journey that landed us back in Nashville pretty well toast.
Crispy toast.
Very tired. Exhausted. And, you know, got back, I guess, around maybe 2 a.m. And then we're just... And then it's like you're so tired you cannot see straight, but your body's telling you it's daytime. And so that's the weird thing about jet lag. And so
it's so just weird.
Trying to sleep and stay asleep. And this is so weird and such a lost thing and feeling sometimes. And that's just kind of where we are now. Like we're reintegrating. This is, you know, less than 48 hours ago. So
I fell asleep watching a movie last night, and I think I was telling you this at lunch, that I didn't even have a moment's notice of, wow, you're getting tired, you should get up and go to bed. I woke up and did not know whose life I was living at the moment. But I'm grateful that last night was a pretty decent night's sleep, so I'm kind of banking on tonight.
Yeah, even as we sit here now, I'm like feeling like it's still, the day is, there's plenty of day left, but I'm like, yeah, starting to feel like it's the middle of the night.
What's your biggest takeaway from Jordan?
The beauty of the place, the safety of it. The depth of the Bible that's in it, the friendliness.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have a single takeaway. It was surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, Israel is always enchanting and surprising. But now, like, we have spent so many months of our lives there and have relationships there. And so we just haven't spent that much time on the other side of the Jordan River. And so it was an enchanting place that expanded a lot of biblical knowledge. It was cool that we were at places, especially you know, that we're both reading about, but you are reading in the moment about certain places, like, you know, Aaron's death and Mount Hor. And
yeah,
we're like there.
Right.
We're looking at it. And right. So
I think we were like a day or two off of the actual place with the reading and the story. And
so there was something really cool about that to like integrate, like, okay, these stories now have more depth.
Right.
Because I know what it looks like and I know right where it's at.
Right.
So how about you? What's your biggest takeaway?
Probably a lot of the same ones as you, I think. The feeling of safety. And just, you can't put a price on that. And yeah, the same as you, as far as, I didn't realize how many significant biblical sites were there, and to be able to connect them not only to the Bible, but connect them in reference of, this is what we're seeing when we're in Israel. And I think just the baptism site that we talked about is so deceiving. You just see this little, I don't want to say hut type thing, but it's just this little deck that you can see from Israel into Jordan. And it's just the Jordan River that separates the two. And so I just thought, oh, there's a little hut. Maybe they're lucky if there's a bathroom there. Mm-hmm. But this is the desert where after the baptism of Jesus, he goes out to the desert and he's tempted by Satan. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a PBD.
It's a PBD.
And just the beauty, like they think they found the spot where John baptized Jesus, and it's just so surreal seeing those things. And so a lot of the same things that you said, and I think even just seeing our guide, like you said, who's a Christian, our driver, who's a Muslim, mm-hmm. the friendship that was formed, and to witness that. And we said this along the journey. I mean, our driver was fasting during Ramadan.
Right.
But he would stop and make sure that we had water and coffee, and even bought us snacks, like, you mm-hmm. know, the last day. That's very humbling.
It is.
And, like I offered, without thinking, I offered him food several times that on the journey, and Ezekiel's like, Mom, he's fasting. And I just forgot. And, mm-hmm. But it kind of felt like, you know, this peace offering at the end, like, let me, I don't know. It just, it was
hospitality.
Hospitality.
And caring.
Kindness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking for just the kindness and humanity, and I'm grateful that sometimes you don't have to look very far. And then we got to the airport and it seemed all was lost. I think stressful times for a lot of uncertainties and
a lot of people. But we boarded our craft and it took off, and away we, 24 hours later, we're in another world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, man, 24 hours ago we were looking at the Dead Sea. It's so weird.
Yeah. Oh man. And I do miss that view. Water is such a heart healer for my soul. So waking up to that a few days did not get old at all.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was going to miss that.
Yeah.
And just even the birds chirping that came to our balcony and mm-hmm. talked to each other. And I know you and Ezekiel both were feeding them. And there was a cat situation at the last hotel that...
I mean, that's the thing, is cats are beloved.
Right.
In the Middle East. And so they're everywhere. And
this particular hotel, though, built them little cat houses, so they were not leaving. And
No, they live there.
Yeah.
There's probably a dozen of them that live there.
I had a cat experience growing up, and so I'm just not fond of them.
But your son is.
And you are, too.
Yeah, I kind of dig them.
So that was sweet to watch, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in cat hell.
Well, maybe the Lord was just stretching your whatevers.
Maybe, but nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Well, maybe you're in rebellion.
Maybe I have the truth. It just depends on which side of the aisle you're standing.
I guess so. Well, I guess, you know, we needed to bring this in for a landing. And that was a really epic adventure.
Yeah.
To the land of the Bible.
Yes. And all in all, I have to say, I am grateful from every part, from beginning to end. I am grateful that we got to witness what we did, and to witness the safety of being in a country while there was uncertainty I'm grateful that we were able to just to trust God in a way that that felt challenging. That felt like it could be challenging at different times in our lives, but I just felt His peace with us.
Yeah.
And if I look at in us,
if I look at the whole thing comprehensively, not just like the Jordan piece, everything, everything went so well.
Yeah.
And it was so good. So good. Like, it was so good to be back in Israel. It was so good.
For sure.
To have that experience again. And I, you know, sitting here now, looking forward to going back.
Yeah.
And can't wait.
And just continue to pray for our friends and
right.
Yeah. And to be awakened to the reality that these countries depend on tourism as a way of life, and they're getting rocked. So we pray for them. That's what we can do. We can pray.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Exactly.
And with that, I think we should, I guess we should bring this whole thing to a close.
Yeah, we should skedaddle.
We'll be back with other, whatever this is.
Is?
Yeah.
I like it.
Whenever we have some other things to talk about, and I'm sure that, you know, we're planning that. But this was the travel, the travel edition. And, well, that's it for today. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
And we love you, and we'll be waiting for you here.
Soon.
Hey there, Famous Cowboy. I just wanted to call in here and just speak Jesus into Miss Evie's situation with her and her girls and, that awful situation that they're going through. I just pray that the Holy Spirit just ministers to you and that He just lights your pathway and He brings peace and healing into that situation. And everything that enemy meant for evil, we bind that and rebuke that in Jesus' mighty name. I speak life into your situation through the name of Jesus and just pray and pray that that enemy's attack stops. Everything that he's threatening stops, and it starts retreating 10 times faster than it came on in Jesus' mighty name. I speak life into those girls that they just turn their lives over and just give this all to him, and that Jesus uses this, and he just uses this opportunity to draw every single one of y'all closer to him, and that the soul is just cultivated with his goodness and his love, and that everything y'all do from here on out just glorifies him. I'm so sorry that this has happened, y'all. There is a plethora of people here praying for you, and he hears all of our needs. And I know this is lined up with his will, and in time, everything is going to be better and be all right. But we rebuke those attacks, and we bind those, and they don't march one inch forward from here on out, and they start retreating in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hello, Deb family. This is Marjorie from New Mexico. I'm calling in to ask for prayer. My father, who was incarcerated, passed away on February the 26th, and I had just talked to him on the 25th, and he sounded fine. I received a letter from him. He didn't date the letter, but the envelope was dated the 26th, which was the day he passed. And it was just basically him telling me how proud he was of me and how much he loved me. And I know that he's in a better place because he did repent for his crimes. I'm just having a hard time and I'm asking for prayer. Thank you, Dabbers.
Good morning, my DAB family. I am calling today, March 4th, on Brian's birthday. I just heard the podcast and I want to thank the Lord for his life. And I want to just praise God because his will has been done in their lives. And they are there because God has allowed it and he has a purpose. We're praying ahead of time for the return home and for a safe trip home. I'm also praying for his driver. that their time with him would have spoken to them, to him, to the driver, and that he might know the Lord Jesus Christ through these days that they have spent together. And I thank God for David, their tour guide. I praise you and I worship you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing with them, through them, and for them at this time. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen.
Hey, I just wanted to call in response to Rebecca from South Carolina. Just wanted to let you know that you're not alone in the way that you are feeling, and just wanting to pray for your peace of mind and for the overwhelming you are experiencing. Dear Jesus, we just pray for Rebecca that you would be her covering, that you would speak your truth into her mind, that you would remove the fears that are bringing this overwhelm, that you would show her that her needs are valid, and it's never selfish to share our needs or to seek support. Jesus, show her how much you love her, encourage her, help her to know that she's not alone. Give her small ways to be able to begin finding peace in the little moments throughout her day. Rebecca, we love you. Bye.